Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 26. Discovered. Start with LCRS, Nick said. How do you access the forums? Collier got up and slunk over to his desk. Nick rolled the chair to the side, forcing the larger boy to kneel down to log in. He typed slowly, one finger at a time.
This is my account.
Nick watched as Collier logged into the LCRS chat server and made a mental note of the username, lift_nv. Show me the request list. Collier didn't type anything. He opened up a text file and copied a line out of it and pasted it into the chat. Elf was right. His computer knowledge was minimal. The list of requests that appeared on screen was almost totally different to the one that Nick had access to. He spotted a couple he'd seen before, and then a new request caught his eye. Show me the details of that one.
I don't know how, Collier said. I just get told which ones to reserve.
Give me that keyboard, Nick said. Collier looked like he was going to say no.
Just don't mess anything up, he said, sliding the wireless keyboard across the desk.
A few keystrokes later, and Nick had the request's details up. This is bad, he said.
Who for? Collier asked.
Maybe all of us. This job is to hack a set of addresses and be ready to take them over at a certain time. Sounds like an easier job than the ones we can see, Jenny said.
Looks like they filter for different accounts and not just based on level of difficulty, Nick said. The deadline is Wednesday this week, the day before the auction. It's marked as pending complete, and I recognize one of the addresses. It's Twitchell's network.
Who would want to take down Twitchell's? Collier asked. It's just a school.
If it's on LCRS, then the Alchemist wants it done, Nick said. Now, show me where you're getting your tracking data from. Collier took the mouse and opened up a different browser. The homepage was a map of Twitchell's covered in red dots. He offered the mouse to Nick, who ignored it, keeping both hands on the keyboard, typing fast. As he went, Nick copied and pasted any useful information into a fresh text file. This data comes direct from the commercial server, Nick said, and it's got everything in it. Students, teachers, in fact all members of staff. The geolocator company's server must have been compromised.
I don't think so, Collier shook his head.
Then how come you got access, Nick said, taking the opportunity to browse through Collier's network settings and copy them into the text file.
Collier shrugged. My father bought the geotagging company, or at least the company he owns took it over.
Nick stopped typing. Your dad bought it?
If you own the company, you own the data.
Collier spoke in such a matter-of-fact way that it made buying an entire company just to rummage through its data seem about as ordinary as popping out to the shop for a pint of milk. Nick finished typing and looked at Jenny.
All good? She asked.
Yep. He used Collier's email account to send the text file to his burner email account.
Then you can leave, Collier said.
Not quite, Jenny said with a slight smile. Before we go, I want you to tell us exactly why you're doing all this.
Collier sighed.
And then you go?
Then we go. 15 minutes later, Nick and Jenny were in the study room in the house. Jenny drew a symbol fast enough that the portal appeared level with the top of Elf's trees, which was pretty good in Nick's mind. In the kitchen, James was well enough to have made a pot of tea, and Elf was putting the finishing touches to her and Jenny's auction outfits. Good news or bad news first, Jenny said.
Good, James said, bringing over 3 mugs.
Collier isn't going to steal any more magic items, Jenny said. At least, he's not planning to. And he told us exactly what he's been up to.
Sounds like you were very persuasive, Elf said. I hope you didn't have to cause too much pain.
It was all Nick, Jenny said. He told Collier that we'd go to the caretaker and get him kicked out of Twitchell's if he didn't talk to us.
Good angle, James said. What's the bad news?
Twitchell's network's been targeted, and it's probably already compromised by the Alchemist, Nick said. And Collier's going to be at the auction, Jenny said.
along with evil Uncle Vadik. Collier's story was not as wild as James, Jenny and Elf's, but it still trumped Nick's A Crow Got Me Into a Forum. Nikolai Collier Sokolov was the only child of a Georgian businessman, who was the sort of businessman that is happy to bend around laws and regulations to make more money than is reasonably spendable in a single lifetime. He was also happy to use his only son for business purposes, which is why Collier had been sent to the UK with Uncle Vadik and inserted into Twitchell's to make connections. The most exclusive private schools were all about connections. That was really what they were for, not just good grades. Get your kids to mix with other kids that would end up being rich and powerful. But Collier wasn't just at Twitchell's to make connections with other rich kids. His dad wanted to make another, much more sinister connection. With the alchemist. For the last 3 years, while studying at Twitchell's, Collier and his uncle had been carrying out tasks and weaving their way through the UK's criminal networks in an attempt to get into LCRS and finally complete enough requests to make contact with the group's elusive leader. And by stealing the Stone of Brighthelm and putting it up for auction, they should have amassed enough tier points to impress the alchemist and organise a meeting. How come we don't see any requests on LCRS for magic stuff? And why would the alchemist want to put the items up for auction? James asked. There's a bunch of filters on the server, Nick said. Not just for noobs or easier jobs. Collier had a totally different set of requests to us, including a bunch of magic ones. And the alchemist wants the items in the auction, Jenny said, so that the auction's got enough powerful magic to attract the right sort of people. Why? James asked. Collier didn't know, Jenny said. He didn't know a lot of stuff. He's mostly just trying to please his dad. That's being a bit too kind, James said. He's not exactly reluctantly doing all these bad things. He likes hurting people. That might be true, but he knows nothing about computers, Nick said. Told you, Elf chipped in. He gets everything sent to him and just follows simple instructions. His dad even bought the company behind the badge tracking to make it easy for him. I know we told Collier that we wouldn't get him into trouble, Jenny said, but I think we should tell the caretaker about the Twitchell's network being attacked. We don't owe Collier anything, James said. I doubt the caretaker will listen to us, though, but we can at least try to tell her. Nick? Yeah, we should tell her, Nick nodded. Someone's told LCRS that they've completed that request and hacked the school. At the very least, they've hacked into a weird pretend network like I'm in. But there were a few different addresses they needed to hack, so it stands to reason that they're probably in deeper than me. I'll let the caretaker know tomorrow. By Monday morning, James still wasn't back to normal. The result of a squeeze test just before he conjured the portal put him at best at 60%, according to Jenny. We don't know how this will affect you, starting the week so low, she said as they floated down through the trees. Might be a good idea to travel back during break and lunch times. I'm feeling it already, James said. Not bad, but something tugging at the edges, like being out on a wintry walk without a jacket. They were chatting about the auction and Collier when they stepped out onto the lawn in front of the college. But their chatter tailed off when they saw the stiff figure of the caretaker waiting by the door to the glass-walled corridor. Saves us the job of finding her, James murmured. She doesn't look happy, Jenny murmured back. Never does, Elf added. They were within 10 feet of the woman when she barked, "Laptop!" at Nick, and held out her hand. It's in my bag, Nick said. I won't be getting it out during the day. Yes, you will, the caretaker said sharply, because I'm confiscating it until the end of term. Give it up. What? Nick didn't move. You've broken enough rules to get yourself excluded, but that's not my business. I'm here for the laptop. You can hand it over and get it back at Christmas, or I can wave this wand over it and it'll never work again. Your choice. She held out a black device that could have been an extra-long remote control if it had had more than one ominous button on it. Nick looked at the wand and thought about making a run for it. It's okay, Nick, Jenny said. We'll work it out. What rules did he break? All of them. Every rule about the acceptable use of Twitchell's Wi-Fi, plus a whole load of laws to do with accessing private networks and data privacy. It's lucky the police aren't involved, if you ask me. Now Nick knew how Collier had felt, being forced into showing them his computer access. He reluctantly pulled his pride and joy from his bag and handed it over.
"I suppose now isn't a good time to let you know that your network's been hacked," Elf said.
"I know it's been hacked," the caretaker snapped. "That's why I'm confiscating this."
"Not by Nick," Jenny said, "but by cybercriminals."
"Well, leave that to me to worry about. I've spent half the weekend fixing things. If anyone else has been messing around, I'll find them and take their laptops too."
She turned around and stormed off, Nick's laptop under her arm.
"That went about as well as I expected," Elf said.
"We need to speak to the inspector and get this sorted out," Jenny said.
"I shouldn't have tried to access the 6 GHz network," Nick shook his head. "Or maybe it was the timing test to see if the network was virtualized. I really hope she doesn't wipe my laptop." He let out a long sigh, mostly because he knew that if he'd been more sensible, no one would have noticed his hack.
"There's something weird going on," James said. "If you did do those bad things, surely a real teacher would be involved. And she clearly just tracked us out of the forest and didn't say a word about us magically appearing here."
Nick didn't want to think about any of it. He took his and James's laundry up to their room and walked slowly to English. When the lesson started as normal, he felt a wave of relief that no one had come to drag him out to the head's office. He was half numb until lunchtime, when Toad in the Hole, followed by Sticky Toffee Pudding, did a decent job of bringing him back to life. James and Elf weren't around, but Jenny came and found him.
"James is back at Elf's," she said. "He's doing okay, but an hour recharging his batteries will be good for him. How are you feeling?"
"Bit better now." He scraped up a smear of sauce from the bottom of the dessert bowl.
"We need to keep a low profile until after the auction," Jenny said. "Then we'll work out how to get your laptop back. See you at dinner time." Nick was half hoping that they'd decide he should skip prep and travel back with them as soon as school ended. But Jenny and Elf said they were happy to take James first, then come and get him from the dining hall as usual. Other than James's general malaise and Nick's feelings of loss for his laptop, the only other thing of note that happened on Monday was that the tickets to the auction arrived. "They were delivered by a crow around 6, Jenny said, when they were all back at Elf's and sitting around the kitchen table. "We've got 3 tickets that look quite a lot like their tickets to that ancient Dragon Power concert." She showed them to Nick. They actually said Ancient Dragon Power on them, and had a little dragon-shaped hologram in the corner.
"Seat ZZ234 and door 13, Nick said. "Did you check where they were?"
"Don't exist," James said. He was wrapped in a blanket and hunched over a mug of tea. "The doors go from 1 to 12, and there's no ZZ row of seats either. But the dress code's on there." Nick turned the ticket over. The words, "Dress as your favourite character," were written in italics.
"I finished our costumes," Elf said. "I think we make pretty good mage lords."
"I'm not sure why mage lords need to have such short skirts," Jenny said disapprovingly.
"We're stylish mage lords," Elf said. "The best kind."
"Don't think I'll be much help in London," James said. "Today wiped me out. I'm not even going to bother with a squeeze test. I must be on about 50% right now." Cece scurried over to him and snuggled into the blanket. "And I can't even log into the LCRS forum to see if we got any tier points for completing that job," Nick said. "Not without my laptop."
"My little netbook any use?" James asked.
The netbook was next to a pile of notebooks and had a thin layer of dust on top. Nick resisted turning it on. It would take an age to set up and configure and probably wouldn't support most of the tools he needed. He shrugged. To take his mind off the laptop, Jenny suggested he practice conjuring portals. "Keep going at the home symbol," she said. "You're getting better." There was something rather calming about conjuring a portal. The key to the air felt well balanced in his hand, and the nib moved easily over the paper. It wasn't scratchy at all. A slow opening portal, which is all he could manage at first, had the odd effect of making gravity drain from him over a long period of time, which was less disorienting for his body. By the time he got a bit quicker at conjuring, he became more in tune with being weightless. He had also gained a newfound appreciation for James's considerable talent as a portal master.
While Nick had quickly learned the symbol off by heart and could now produce it smoothly on the page, his best portal still took a full 30 seconds to open and must have been half a mile from the arid Tibetan plain. Still, it had done a great job of keeping his mind off his laptop. Tuesday was fine. Well, fine if you ignored the fact that James was markedly worse than the day before, and Nick still didn't have a laptop. There was a veil of mist in the air when they landed in the forest. Thankfully, this time, there was nobody waiting to meet them as their feet collected cold dew from Twitchell's lawn. "You must have got too close to actually finding the real network," James said. "The caretaker was fine with you being in her pretend one, or whatever it is." Nick nodded. James might be right about the caretaker, but that didn't mean he missed his laptop any less. By bedtime on Wednesday, James was barely able to walk on his own, while Nick was getting much better at conjuring portals. "That last one was decent," James murmured. "Couldn't do much better myself. Need to get you working on local ones next." "Auctions tomorrow," Jenny said. "Elf and I will be getting the train up from Brighton Station as soon as school finishes." "The plan is simple. We'll find the book and steal it back, using Zen and Bobby's help if we need it." "And the Stone of Brighthelm," Elf said. "We'll steal that too." They both sounded confident that they'd be able to do it. Nick hoped they'd have more of a plan, but then again, Elf had stolen the passports fine, and Jenny could hold her own against anyone. "You might have to spend the night at Twitchell's tomorrow," Jenny said to Nick. "Save James from having to leave Brighton." "I'm fine," James tried to wave a hand dismissively, but it looked more like a gesture the old Queen Mother would have made. He was so weak he didn't even bother trying to persuade them that he should go to the auction. "I don't mind staying at Twitchell's if I have to," Nick said. "It's no problem." In the back of his mind, he knew that by staying at Twitchell's, there was much less chance that he'd have to see either of the rats. Jenny and Elf showed off their Mage Lord outfits. They were a little bit like Twitchell's gowns, but the hoods were more wizardy and the material sparklier. And the skirts were a bit short. But Nick thought they looked pretty good. This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.